Thanks for that, Zoe. Please take up your Bibles. Just give me a second. I've got to open up mine. Good morning to everyone. I can just see Hannah out there, little Bible nerd with her booklet, taking notes. Doreen Wong will be out there doing the same thing. Hello to my fellow Bible nerds out there. Today is the final series on John 3:16, our exploration of the book of John. And I don't know if you remember last week in doing Easter, but we were looking at all the people that met the resurrected Jesus, and all the people were overwhelmed with emotion, and all the people who were overwhelmed, Jesus gave them a command and a mission, and after receiving the command and mission, all the people went away joyful. Remember, Mary was full of grief, and the disciples were full of fear. Thomas was full of doubt, and today we're going to look at Peter because he is full of fear. And this is the third and final appearance of Jesus that's recorded in the book of John. And personally, I really love this episode because Peter resonates with me as being a very clumsy man and a failure in many ways. And I love the way that Jesus deals with failure. We're going to look at the passage in two parts, verses 1 to 14, get a context, but we're really, really zooming in on that dialogue between Peter and Jesus and how he deals with the failure. But before we kick off into the context, I'd like to pray, and then we'll get straight into it. If you could bow your heads with me, that would be great. Lord Jesus Christ, just like Liz said earlier, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we ask you now, Lord, fill us with your Spirit. We claim the promise of the Counselor. Speak to our heads, speak to our hearts, and give life to our feet and hands that they may do the things you would have us do so that your name is glorified. May we become less so you become more. We ask this in your name. Amen. What I'd love to do, Zoe did a really good job. Oh, she's gone. Zoe did a really good job reading the Bible, but I'd love to read to you verses 1 to 14. As I read it, try and imagine kind of being there and getting a feel for the context, because this context matters a lot to the conversation. It's more than you think. John 21. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, oh, we'll go with you. So they went out. They got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, boys, have you caught any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, you'll find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it's the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they weren't far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said, bring some of the fish you've just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and he dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net wasn't torn. Jesus said to them, come, have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took bread, gave it to them, and then the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Great story. I've just got the problem with verse 7. Verse 7 is, I just don't get it. How did John know it was Jesus on the shore? It was early morning. None of the other disciples knew. How did John know? And more specifically in verse 7, it was actually the haul of fish that reminded him of Jesus. How does a haul of fish remind John that it was Jesus? Well, I'm glad you asked. The scenario that happened on this very day was identical to the scenario when Jesus first commissioned them. For the Bible nerds out there, it's Luke chapter 5 and it's verses 1 to 11. When Jesus first commissioned the disciples, the circumstances were identical. They were in the same lake. They were in the Sea of Tiberias or Lake of Gennesaret, whatever you want to call it. Again, they fished all night. Again, they caught nothing. Again, Jesus gives them the dumb fishing advice, put your net over here. And again, a miraculous catch. And again, Peter feels like a sinner. Remember before when he felt guilty, his initial response was to make some distance between him and Jesus. That was what the guilt did to him. He said, kind of, get away from me, Lord, I'm a sinner. But the irony is, this time, because of his guilt as a sinner, he actually wants to close the distance and he wants to compensate. Like, I think it's very funny in verse 7, when he hears it's Jesus, he just overreacts and just jumps straight into the water. He leaves his mates behind. Or even in verse 11, Jesus says, bring some fish, and he overcompensates by getting all the fish. But the question in my head, is Peter really the right man to lead the apostles? Is he really good enough to be the fisher of men that he was commissioned to be? He's dropped the ball so many times. And is it enough just to be zealous and that will make you the man? Well, all these questions are kind of answered in verses 15 to 22, where Jesus interviews him. I want this is what I really want to read in detail. Come with me on it. See if you can pick up where Jesus wants to take Peter and see if you can pick up where Peter's head is as they interact. Verse 15. When they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. And I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you don't want to go. And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him and said, follow me. Now, I've got to say, these three questions feel very awkward. These are very personal questions, and Jesus is doing them publicly. And rightly so, because if you remember Peter, before Jesus was crucified, he publicly denied Jesus Christ three times. And Jesus is trying to match his public denial, if you like, with a public reinstatement. Three times he denied them. And this time, Peter's going to have to declare his love three times. Because he's trying to reinstate Peter as the fisher of men and the leader of his apostles. But I think he's also trying to heal him to take him to a different place. And you'll notice, if you did, you'll notice there's a pattern. There are three questions. They're subtly different because Jesus is trying to guide Peter to a different place. And there's three different responses. And again, they're subtly different because you can see Peter, his mind's actually slowly changing. And there are three commands which Jesus repeats that shows you how he wants to be loved. Let me just look at it in a bit of detail here. You'll notice that the three questions that Jesus asks are almost identical except for the first one differing from the other two. And this is going to direct the conversation. You see, Jesus is going to challenge Peter's confidence and Peter's comparative personality and, dare I say, Peter's competitive personality. The question he asks him is, do you love me more than these? And I think the these he's referring to is not the fish. He's not saying, do you love me more than fish or fishing? That's just silly. But I think he's pointing at the other blokes. Do you love me more than these guys? And the reason he's saying that, because back in John 13:38, when he said to all of them, you're all going to betray me, Peter kind of said, no, not me. I will lay down my life for you. And by implication, he's going, I don't know what those guys are doing over there, but I know what I'll be doing. And Jesus is challenging him, going, do you really love me more than these? Is it really about you comparing yourself with others? And then he just breaks it down to the fundamental. Simply, Peter, do you love me? Personally, I found fascinating that he actually never calls him Peter. Remember, Peter means rock. Jesus gave him the nickname to be Simon Peter, and he never calls him Simon the Rock because he certainly crumbled. He just calls him Simon, son of John. You'll also notice, as that details come up, that the three answers, again, they're slightly different. In particular, the third one is different from the first two. And you'll notice also, behind his third answer, there is grief behind it. It says there, Peter was grieved because Jesus asked him the third time. Question, why was he grieved? Was he grieved because he didn't think that Jesus believed him? Was he grieved because Jesus, even though he said he loved Jesus wouldn't accept him? Or was he grieved because Jesus actually knew something that he didn't? Well, I actually think he was grieved because he's starting to doubt himself. Remember in John 13:38, he actually said, I will lay down my life for you. And I bet you Peter meant it 100%. But at the end of the day, he ran away. I think this is the source of his grief. When Jesus is pushing, I wonder if Peter's thinking, maybe you know stuff that I don't know. Maybe I think I'm faithful, but I'm not really. But I love what he says in that statement. He starts it with, not you know that I love you, but he says, you know all things. And I think here is appealing to Jesus' divinity, Jesus is God. I think Peter's trying to say, in the same way you knew me in the past, you will know me in the future. You were right in the past. I dropped the ball. I failed. And he's not saying it, but I think he wants to say, I want to hear it from your lips that I do love you, and you know I love you, and that love will last in the future. The interesting thing is Jesus responds in verse 19, and he tells Peter his future. He tells him that he's going to die for Jesus, and Jesus says that his death will be a glorious death for God. So in by saying that, Jesus has basically let Peter know, yeah, you do love me. And Jesus shows that he accepts Peter by giving him a command. All right, let's look at the last three commands that he gives to the disciples. Again, they're really, really similar. And they're slightly different. I don't want to focus on their differences. I just want to focus on the context. You ready for this? It works like this. He goes, do you love me? Peter's response is then, you know that I love you. And then, in response to that, Peter gives him a command. Then, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Shepherd my sheep. Feed my sheep. This is the insight I've got from it. To love Jesus is to love his followers. Jesus goes, do you love me? Good. If you love me, then you'll direct your love for me upon my people. To love Jesus, from Peter's perspective and Jesus' perspective, is to lead and to shepherd his sheep. All right. What's the take-home value? I was asking Alan this question. Here's a question. Is this situation unique to Peter? So when Jesus says, do you love me, is he saying that just to Peter and it just applies to him and it doesn't apply to us? Is it unique to Peter? Is the answer yes or no? Well, the bad news is I actually think it's yes and no, and you knew I'd say that in the end. So if you like, is the situation unique to Peter? Yes, it is, because these are commands very specific to Peter's role. It's the way Jesus wants to be loved by Peter is by Peter leading and feeding the sheep. And yet, I think Peter's situation is not unique. I actually think these commands, this situation is written down to reveal the identity of Jesus, not just to Peter, but to all followers. Because in this episode, Jesus is the initiator of redemption. He's the one who wants the failed believer to succeed. And to quote Liz, I'm glad you said that, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I wanted to ask you a question. I think when you fail and you feel like a sinner, you need to ask this one question when you fail. And the simple question is this: do I love Jesus? And the reason this is the question to ask is, believe it or not, loving Jesus is actually foundational to both faith and obedience. If you love Jesus, you obey his commands. And if you love Jesus, you will trust him. And more importantly, even, if you love Jesus, you will love his people. I actually think it's nonsense when a Christian says they love Jesus but can't obey Jesus. And I think it's nonsense when a Christian says, I love Jesus, but can't even love Jesus' followers. I would encourage you, the next time you fail, ask the question, do you love Jesus? But don't overcompensate. You can't bribe Jesus. You've got nothing he wants, and he already loves you anyway, so bribing him is a waste of time. And unlike Peter, again, don't run away from Jesus. I would encourage you, rather, wash your face, get back on your feet, and do the things that your Lord wants. I want to finish with my last point, which is, in your guilt, when you make mistakes and fail, don't compare yourself to others. And I think this is where Peter, you know, the book of John just finishes with Peter just blowing it again. It's just unbelievable. Let me read to you from verse 20. It's actually spoiling a good story. Just bear with me. Peter's been redeemed. He's good with Jesus. They're walking up the beach. He's got his arm around him. Everything's good, and then Peter does this. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, Lord, who is it that's going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus asked, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what's that to you? You must follow me. I want to encourage you, do not compare yourself with other people. Jesus will just look you in the face and go, that's none of your business. What I do with that follower is my business. I am the Lord. All you've got to do is love me and follow me. So don't compare yourself with others, because Jesus has a different plan for other people. And by the way, Jesus is not obligated to tell you any of the details of his plans, because he is Lord and we are not. So I want to encourage you, as we finish up the series on John, the next time you're smothered in guilt, get up out of the guilt. Ask yourself the one question: do I love Jesus? If you do, express your love through obedience and loving fellow believers. I will see you next week for 1 Thessalonians.